People aren't as considerate as they used to be, I find. I wouldn't mind hearing a few more please and thank yous. That wouldn't hurt anybody, would it? You ever hold the door open for somebody and they just waltz right through there? No eye contact, no thank you, no nothing. You're just standing there. Well, you're welcome, Your Majesty. Sorry I didn't sprinkle rose petals for you. But then you just meant to hold it for that one person. Suddenly it's like a clown car let out. You're just standing there. Three and four a second are streaming through.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting.
100% target velocity.
Steve, picking up tremendous EMI levels around the machine. All field measurements are pegged off scale high.
So we're approaching our abort limits.
I hear her. Barely, but she's there. She says she's okay to go.
Driving your business sales to the next level. Delivering the gift that keeps on giving. The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Missed you so much. 6:02 on the West Coast, Monday, last day of August 2015. Jim Rohn once said, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, well, you'll find an excuse. Welcome to your Monday edition summer schedule, Mondays only, live here on the West Coast. For your 31st day of August. Today we talk about marketing strategy and how to know if your PR, your public relations campaigns are paying off. You know, as entrepreneurs, how we go about planning and implementing our public relations PR campaigns will be the difference between effective business brand recognition and remaining in a pattern of market invisibility. Relative to developing your PR strategy, which four ways can entrepreneurs or startups on a budget track and measure the success of their PR campaigns in a smarter, more profitable way? I'll share some suggestions with you here on the program. We'll also check in with our friends over at Entrepreneur. And Rochelle Bayless will talk about how to add a little bit of flavor to your writing relative to content producing, content marketing. Neil Cabaj will check in and talk about inattention blindness and how to avoid it. All ahead on this edition, Strategist Radio Live. Oh, a lot to talk about. Summer's almost over. Izzy starts school. She'll be starting her junior year in a couple of weeks. And so two more years, and then she's off to, her goal is to, because she wants to do Hollywood makeup. And she wants to follow kind of in Dad's Hollywood footsteps. And so we're pretty excited about that. She's very, very direct, very specific, and very much on point. And I couldn't be prouder of her. So she's getting ready to start school. Your kids are probably getting ready to start school, too, if you still have them in school. And as for me, well, I'm going to school year-round. You know, I've got, about another year left on my doc study. So I can finish up my terminal degree and become the doctor. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah!
I think. So before we talk about marketing strategy today, because you ask for it, I want to talk a little bit about consumers and their behavior. That's part of our target market composite, if you will. particularly that of consumer behavior, because, you know, you've got demographic, psychographic, geographic, and the behavioral attributes of your unique self-selected target audience, because you're the one that says, that's who I'm targeting my products and services toward, is this particular target market. And then from there you segment the market so that you can test it effectively before you go out there and blow your wad. All right, let's talk a little bit about the three C's. This is a piece that I wrote about a year ago, and I thought it was important because I had some questions over the last couple of weeks about, you know, how consumers are behaving. You know, how does it play in conjunction with how they spend and what they like to do and what they like to, how, you know, where they like to eat and how they like to, you know, engage in social media, how they're collaborating with technology, et cetera, et cetera. Companies today are forced to operate under increasing business environmental pressures. And when I say environmental, I'm not necessarily talking about ecology, but really the environment, the industry to which you compete in each and every day. These pressures are known as what I call the three C's. And the C's are competition, consumers, and, of course, change. What's the one thing that's constant in life, in business? That's right, it's change. You know that. Companies have been fighting for customers for decades, and there's that day-to-day, head-to-head battle that we get into relative to our competition in our particular industry sector. Companies treat customers like royalty to lure them to buy goods and services. Finding and retaining customers is a critical success factor for most businesses. So let's take a little bit of a closer look at consumers today. Consumers can be divided into two types, the individual consumer and organizational consumers. Now, the individual consumers get much of the media attention, and organizational buyers do most of the shopping in cyberspace. Now, organizational buyers purchase items not intended for personal consumption. This might be a business-to-business model, right? That approach. There are two dimensions of shopping experiences. The first one is utilitarian, and that is shopping to achieve a goal or complete a task. And then there's the hedonic, H-E-D-O-N-I-C, hedonic. Shopping because it's fun and because people enjoy it. Now, understanding these dimensions can provide insight into consumer behavior. Now, consumers can also be categorized into three other categories. The first one is impulsive buyers. These are those who purchase products quickly. The second is the patient buyers, who purchase products after making some comparisons. And then finally, the analytical buyers, the logical buyers, who do substantial research before making the decision to purchase products or services. Now, many companies do not sell directly to consumers, but to intermediaries. However, these companies should still be concerned with developing a relationship directly with the end users. After all, it is the end user that supports everyone in a network of value-creating relationships. So again, taking a look at the three categories, the impulsive buyer, those people that are buying emotionally, something excites them, something about the experience of using your product, gaining something from your product or service. Then there's the patient, they take a little more time. And then, of course, the analytical, they do a lot more research. And so you have to make sure that you have a balance in your integrated marketing communication strategy as to how you're going to treat each of these buyer types, because you're likely going to have one, two, or all three of these buyer type categories approaching either your website, walking into your retail establishment, dining at your restaurant, your bistro, stopping in for a cup of coffee, etc., etc. All right. So again, more information on this, I will post a link directly to the article. It's called The Three C's of Consumer Characteristics, and I hope that you find it helpful there. I'll put it on the hub at tjmoreno.com.
Strategist Radio.
.609 on the West Coast right now for your Monday. Happy Monday to you. Love you very much. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for all the social media pings, emails. text messages, phone calls. Really makes my day. Keeps me juiced. All right, so before we talk about marketing strategy, how to know if your PR campaigns are paying off, let's talk about adding a hint of flavor to your writing. You got to be concise, but you don't want to be boring. So here's some tips provided from our good friend, Rochelle Bayless. She's a senior editor and content producer at Intuit.
Being concise and to the point is a good thing usually, but you also run the risk of being boring. So a couple people can get away with this, like Wikipedia or the IRS website. People expect those to be dry and factual. But for the most part, people read things on the internet, like emails or articles, editorials, Facebook posts, because they want flavor. The moment a reader realizes that your writing has no spark, they're going to move on. You wouldn't expect somebody to continue eating bland food in the same way you shouldn't expect them to force down your dry copy, especially if they don't know how it's going to benefit them. If you want someone to eat up your copy, you really need it to be flavorful. So whether it's humor, playfulness, shock, assertiveness, authority, curiosity, whatever it is, you need to develop a tone or a personality or even an edge to your voice. This doesn't mean that you need to speak to them in the first person as if you're talking directly to the reader. It just means that you have to develop a colloquial tone and build a rapport with the reader as if they're hearing something from an actual person. Now, again, this voice can be a voice of authority or it can be playful, but the most important thing is that it has flavor. So as you can see here with this really interesting email from Urban Daddy, the first line itself is obviously extremely eye-catching and really grabs your attention. And then as the email goes on, it starts to describe things a little bit, and then it pauses itself and it says, "Screw it, forget all that. This copy is telling you that it has a respect for your time and doesn't want to waste it anymore," and yet still managed to describe products that sound enticing. ModCloth is a really great example. So obviously this title is really clever. It's playing off of the "So Fresh and So Clean" lyric from an Outkast song. The story that they tell behind this dress actually causes you to envision yourself wearing this dress as if you already own it. Even at the end there, it talks about you feeling a promotion coming just as a result of the awesome energy you feel wearing this dress. This type of copywriting where you're telling a story of this product rather than just presenting it as a product itself is not only really playful and fun and whimsical, it's actually extremely effective. So now that you've seen some examples, you can see how adding flavor to copy can really make it more compelling for the reader to read and to act on.
Strategist Radio.
How you doing? 6:13 on the West Coast, broadcasting live from the Reed Opera House. If we're not already connected yet on social media, let's do that. Let's get connected. Let's leverage the talents of each other. Can't do that if I don't know who you are. Become part of the inner circle. Pop over to the website, the hub at tjmoreno.com. It'll take you about, 10 seconds to join the family. Also on social media, Twitter, we've got a redirect for you. It's simply tjmoreno.com/Twitter. On LinkedIn, tjmoreno.com/LinkedIn. On Google Plus, tjmoreno.com/g and the plus sign. And on Pinterest, simply tjmoreno.com/Pinterest. Love to meet you. A couple minutes, we'll talk about marketing strategy and how to know if your PR campaigns are paying off. But first, a lot going on out there, a lot in the crossfire, a lot of noise pollution, a lot of visual pollution all over the net. Real easy to miss those golden gems, those hidden opportunities. Neil Kabash explores research studies around intentional blindness, or what we call opportunity blindness, and discusses the importance of focusing on a success trajectory rather than velocity.
It can be tempting to set aside market research and talking to customers when it comes to building a product. There's just so much work that needs to be done, and so much of the hard skill work is quantifiable, and you know when it's going to be done. It's so much easier to prioritize that than something that you don't know what the outcome is going to be or when it will be done. More than one product manager has been tempted with this and focused on things such as project management or more requirements analysis. But remember, your goal as a product manager is to deliver the right product, not simply to deliver one. In a 1998 research study, Daniel Simmons asked a number of participants to count how many times a ball was dribbled. In the middle of all of this, a gorilla, a 6-foot-tall gorilla, walked through the room, pounded his chest, and walked back out. After asking the participants how many times the ball was dribbled, he then asked them, "Did you see the gorilla?" And believe it or not, more than half the people didn't. In a follow-up study, Richard Wiseman asked his participants to count how many times an image appeared in the newspaper. The participants had 2 minutes to go through and count, and most of the people used the full amount of time. They would count, review, count again. But there were a couple of people that knew the answer within seconds. How did they know? Well, it turns out there was a quarter-page ad on page 2 that says, "Stop counting, the answer is 43. Go collect your $250 reward." These studies demonstrate a principle called inattention blindness, or as I like to call it, opportunity blindness. Remember that your job as a product manager or as a startup founder is to create the right product. It doesn't matter how quickly you create the product if nobody's going to use it. So remember to take a step back, focus on talking to customers, understand what the market really wants, and then set a success trajectory rather than focusing entirely on velocity.
Strategist Radio.
You always create your own opportunities. Remember, if you win, it's your fault. If you lose, it's your fault. We're always testing. We're always waiting for that change. We're embracing it. Thinking about conflict resolution. Always keeping our eyes peeled. Scanning the business environment. Paying close to the behavior of consumers. Watching the economic trends. A lot to be mindful as the entrepreneur of your endeavor. Always want to be paying attention. Looking forward to the Oregon State Fair. It's now underway, and I want to thank Dan Cox for taking the time. I did a piece for the Salem Business Journal last week. Journal hit on the 1st, which will be tomorrow. And I really took more of a business angle rather than doing an infomercial for the State Fair, but I want to thank Dan Cox, one of the VIPs over there, for making the time and helping me put this piece together so we could talk about opportunities at the State Fair level for businesses, local businesses in particular. So many sponsorship opportunities, and a lot of local businesses just aren't aware, or they think that it's too costly. I realize that it can be very economical, and it gives you a chance to really press the flesh with those consumers in your local marketplace. All right, so again, thanks, Dan Cox. Appreciate you a lot. If you've got an upcoming event or something you'd like to talk about on the program, or you've had some amazing success relative to business strategy, marketing, entrepreneurship, I'd love to hear from you. You can shoot me an email anytime. We go through them, hundreds of them each week. support@tjmoreno.com. And we also will take a look at your ideas for upcoming programs. For the month of September, we'll continue with our summer schedule, which is Mondays Live for you. And then we turn the live airing from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time into a podcast shortly after, so you can help yourself to all the archives. And all that information is free for you on the hub by simply visiting tjmoreno.com. All right. Let's talk a little bit about public relations. And how do you know, with the capital investment and your time investment, whether or not your PR campaigns are really paying off? And let me just first say this. Part of something that, you know, we do here at Trinity, as you likely know, is we have a public relations division and public relations strategists that go out. And the first goal of public relations is to go out and create that brand awareness, whether it be a new product, if you're a new company. Then the first 3 to 6 months is really introducing either your brand and or product or service. Maybe it's a new product. People are familiar with your brand. Maybe you're getting ready to roll out a new widget. So the first 3 to 6 months on the pre-roll right up to the campaign is really about setting a stage of public awareness. And that's really where public relations sits on the front end. And one of the things that you want to be mindful of is the patience approach. Okay, you're always testing, you're tracking, but you have to have patience. Because remember, when, for example, we go out and we may talk to ABC or NBC or CBS, could be one of the cable networks, Fox, CNN. Maybe we're pitching an author for an interview. Well, there are thousands of other individuals vying for that same earned media interview on that network that you may be. And so it can be rather frustrating, and that's why developing those relationships, being patient, tracking your follow-up, having a straight plan, making sure that you've got an effective media kit, a nice one-sheet, testimonials, videos, wonderful, making sure you're preparing that cover letter, make sure you're sending it out by mail. You want to stand out in some cases where it's a real important person that you want to connect with relative to publicity. This would be an overnight package. You know, you've got to make it a little bit more verbose than just sending an email or just sending it regular snail mail. All right. You really want to stand out. So public relations, how do we know if they're paying off? So one of the things you'll want to ask is how many times was the coverage shared? Now, while some actually show how many times, for instance, if you go out and you may be running a campaign, some radio stations, some television stations, most online platforms will have some sort of metric. So let's say it's an article. Say you get it up on LinkedIn and you want people to share it. Well, you want to look at things like how many times was the article viewed? How many times was a page viewed on your website? In other words, where's that traffic coming from? If you're doing an interview at a radio station, you want to make sure that all hands on deck know when that interview is going to air so that you can watch for the traffic. You also want to make sure, that if you can, to use a tracking link, something that's unique to that particular time and space. Because if you just send everybody to your direct website from the interview, well, how do you know if they're coming from LinkedIn or they're coming from the radio interview or they're coming in from a social media, you know, distribution you might have done yesterday or 2 weeks ago? You wouldn't know that. So you've got to make sure that you've got a set up tracking link. So by measuring how many times your message was shared, you get some indication as to how popular. You can also see if other people are resharing. You want to take a look at that as well. There's a tool called ShareCount. I don't know if you're familiar with this. They can give you a quick idea of social share metrics. And while you'd hope your coverage is not being shared in the wrong for the wrong reasons, this kind of data will give you some digital paint with which to start crafting a better picture of the success of your campaign. So you want to make sure how many people are listening. You want to get those metrics from the radio or television network. If you're running advertisements in your public relations campaign, because you can also do paid advertisements. How are you running banner ads? Maybe it's on Facebook. Maybe you're doing Google AdWords. You want to really check your metrics. What was the caliber of the engagement? That's another thing you got to think about. So we're thinking about quantity, but now we're thinking about quality. You know, while getting lots of likes and shares for a great article or an interview, that means people are behind those engagements. But also, we want to find out who's being influenced in within your niche. Maybe likes what you do, is willing to share it. Where are they sharing it with? Who's picking up your article and maybe drawing mention to it? You know, in our case, I don't know, I wrote an article as a contributor for Entrepreneur, and they did a link back. So you need to be familiar with the caliber of that engagement. One of the tools that we like to use here in-house is TweetReach. I don't know if you're familiar with TweetReach. Check it out. It's to measure event hashtags and also article headlines. The tool will give you a count of reach and exposure. And what this does, it tells you how many people may have seen the content on Twitter and also who has generated the tweets and to the extent of their impact. How far did they go? How deep? How long was the tail? You want to take a look at your website. Did your website gain any additional traffic? Search engine optimization is hugely important for any PR effort, as most inquiries about your company, product, or service are likely to have kicked off via a search engine, a query. You know, for example, somebody may hear your name on a radio interview or a television interview, maybe in an article, but they don't really remember the website, so they're likely going to get on a search engine to see if they can track you that way. In order for web pages to rank more highly than others for keyword search terms, having links to them from authoritative sites is a signal that Google and Bing really believe that your content is relevant and has some authority. And this is where we look at one of the algorithms
relative to search engine. I don't want to go too deep into this. Obviously, number one is, you know, content within your site, links leaving your site or staying within your site, going to somewhere that's relevant. And then I think the biggest algorithm component is your links inbound from other locations. But we want quality inbound links. So when an organization like entrepreneur.com online links us to them and links back to our website or to a particular article that I've written, we're able to track it. But also because they're weighted so positively and powerfully, Entrepreneur, that is, with Google or Bing, they're going to take that link back as having some serious value, some significant value, showing that what I'm talking about or what they might find at Trinity WebWorks website or at The Strategist will be weighted and will be something that will provide authority. And so they feel comfortable with that. And so they give you, I just call it a cookie, all right? And that can help boost you in your organic listings. A good indicator of success is if people have taken time to not just talk about your company, but the other thing is they want to make sure that we're getting those click-throughs. So let's really make sure that if you're doing a radio interview, you're writing an article for someone, you're sending out a press release, let's really make sure that we're using tracking links so we can really go back and we can see what the metrics look like, at least on a high level. And finally, does the campaign move the sales needle? PR can drive sales. PR is not direct, it's indirect. But over the years, as PR professionals, as we've done here with one of our divisions here at the firm, we're looking for that linear line from the engagement. Somebody does, one of our clients does a radio interview on, say, ABC. Maybe they're on Sean Hannity's program, maybe Bill O'Reilly. Maybe they're become a guest with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. And our goal is to make sure that we're watching that engagement, not only with a click through to the website, but also tracking it straight on through to the sale, if that does occur. So the lines between PR and marketing are somewhat blurry, particularly if you're an entrepreneur that really didn't study marketing in academically, or through the years your focus might have been on developing your product or service, building your business, etc. But there is a dividing line between PR, and PR really is a branch underneath the umbrella of marketing. So there are ways now that you can actually track your PR engagements all the way through, some of which are not dirt cheap. The deeper you want to go with big data, the more costly it becomes for you. You're going to have to make a bigger investment because you're going to need tools that are a little bit more robust. But again, if you're starting out, working on a budget, use those tracking links. As a Pretty Link is one. If you're using a WordPress platform, Pretty Link's a decent little plugin. At least it gives you some high-level idea as to how the traffic is moving and how to make the most of your PR campaigns. But again, you want to be patient. Remember, the goal of PR is to get the word out about you, is to create that brand awareness, to create that buzz. Give yourself at least 6 months to a year, sometimes longer. Be patient with public relations. I'll see you next week. God bless you. Next few days, we'll have up our whole month schedule for September. I love you very much. Please go out and look for those opportunities to love somebody. Got a hurt world out there. Go show them some love. Big group hug for everybody. Thanks for being my friend. God bless, and make it a great rest of your week. Kelly.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on The Strategist Radio Live.